Hi, this is Pastor Mike Gordon, and welcome to Bethel Brandon Sunday Message. For more information about this podcast and more resources, visit us at bethelbrandon.ca. Okay, so today we celebrate. And not what a better time to celebrate than what is Palm Sunday. This is known as Palm Sunday. There's a story of a child who goes to church every single Sunday. He doesn't miss a Sunday whatsoever. But on this particular Sunday, Palm Sunday, he's ill. So mom has to stay home with them. Dad goes with the rest of the kids. And they go to the Palm Sunday service. And they come home and all the kids and the dad have this palm leaf in their hand. And he said, "Hey, what's going on here, Dad? Why do you got that palm branch?" And Dad says, "Well, you see, when Jesus came into town, everyone waved palm branches to honor him. So we got palm branches today." So the boy says, "Oh, man, the one Sunday I miss, the Sunday that Jesus shows up." Sometimes you feel that way, eh? Now, I'm not too sure how we have focused. Evangelical churches many times don't really observe Palm Sunday like other churches do. And it's something which is important for us to take a look at. I know we kind of ask ourselves, what's the significance in it? Well, if that's the case, I do have a video to kind of help me at this time. If we could show it, that'd be great.
Hey, Tommy and Eddie here to talk to you about something really great, Palm Sunday.
Yeah, that's the Sunday that we paint our palms purple to commemorate King Saul talking to that palm reader lady, and then we wave them in the air.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's
yes,
not.
Yes, it
no.
is. What Bible do you read?
Palm Sunday commemorates the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Now picture this. Jesus rode in on a donkey while the crowds put their cloaks and palm branches all over the ground, shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David."
That's what I said. What I meant.
Okay, now picture this. Jesus' popularity was going viral. I mean, he just raised Lazarus from the dead in the same community just a few days earlier.
Wait, post-dead Lazarus was maybe at the very first Palm Sunday?
Yeah, probably.
That's so cool. I bet if he was there, he was probably like, "And you're a thriller, Jesus. You raised me from the dead when you said, get up, get up, get up, ooh!"
Now, to complete all of this, Jesus needed a donkey. Now, you'd think that a king or a prince would ride in on a horse, but not Jesus. He knew the message that he wanted to send. You see, a donkey represents peace. Anybody riding a donkey represented peaceful intentions.
Yeah, it says right here in Matthew 21, it says that Jesus sent two of his disciples to get him a donkey.
Yeah.
Hey, I wonder which two he sent.
Maybe Thomas.
I doubt it. I bet he sent Andrew. Andrew would totally do that. And probably Tony. I bet he said Andrew and Tony.
Tony's not a disciple.
Oh, sorry. Tony is.
Still not a disciple.
What translation of the Bible do you read?
Jesus needed a donkey, so he asked two disciples to go get him a donkey. He told them they would find one in town, tied there next to a colt.
Yeah. And then he says, "Untie them and bring them to me. And if somebody asks you about it, you tell them the Lord needs them?" Jeez.
Yeah. What?
Well, Jesus told his disciples to go steal a donkey for him.
What Bible do you read? It doesn't say that at all.
I can't figure this out. I mean, Jesus, he changed water into wine. Cool. He fed the 4,000.
He fed the 5,000.
What?
He fed the 5,000.
It doesn't matter.
It does matter. Not the fourth. It's the 5,000.
We're splitting hairs.
I'm sorry.
Jesus fed a large group of people. And that's cool. He healed people with leprosy. He raises Lazarus from the dead, and then boom, he's like, "Hey guys, go steal me a donkey." I'm just saying, I don't think that's very WWJD.
The significance of Jesus riding in on a donkey, which he did not steal, was to fulfill the prophecy that is found in Zechariah 9:9.
Yeah, but the...
And the king riding in on a lowly donkey with his way paved with palm branches. The palm branches symbolize triumph or victory.
The what?
The palm branches.
The bread?
Palm branches, Palm Sunday.
I thought it was the palm. They should call it Branch Sunday, because that's confusing. We all have palms with us all the time. I feel bad. I'm sorry, Palm Sunday.
Palm Sunday is a time for us to prepare our hearts for the agony of His passion and the joy of His resurrection. So this week, let's cover the road to the cross with our hearts, our souls, and our minds as we reflect on the final week of Jesus' life.
And let's celebrate in anticipation the return of the King of Kings.
So there you go. In a nutshell, there are a number of visual learners out there, aren't you? And you're saying amen to that because by the time I get speaking, you're kind of still thinking of the pictures back then. But it's just fine with me. But what is it all about? Like, what is the significance? What does Palm Sunday have to do with me in 2019 North America, Canada, whatever? Does it make a difference? Is it have anything having to do with what's going on? Now, there are a number of places where it's spread. Let me read to you John chapter 12, verse 12. It says, the next day the crowd had come for the festival and heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey, or on a donkey's colt. At first, the disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now, it may surprise you. That's John's rendition. But the Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry, as it's called, is mentioned in all four of the Gospels. And each one tends to emphasize something a little bit different. Historians, if they're trying to find out if something is true, try to find two verified sources from completely different people. Here we have four different sources that talk about something like this, which has happened. And so it takes place the week before his death. It's the start of what we call Passion Week, which leads to his death and eventually his resurrection. So again, I ask, why is it important? What does it give for us today? Like this celebration they had, it was a week later. The same people who were singing Hosanna were the ones who were saying, crucify him. Yeah, give us the serial killer Barabbas instead. It's just in some reason it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And why do we celebrate death? Well, you have to kind of consider what the death represents, don't you? So if you're here and you're just visiting with us and your level of spiritual knowledge and Christian and biblical knowledge might be at a low point, and I don't think in like 5 minutes I could explain all the depths of it to you. But if perhaps you're here, I think that there's three words that I could leave you with this morning that can kind of give you some hope. Then this is what they would be. Because this whole passage of scripture is laced with symbolism, as you've kind of seen in the video. But let me just talk about three of them, okay? The first one is victory. And we have the idea of the branches that were the palm branches that were waved, and symbolically that talked about victory. That something was about to be won. And again, like I said, sometimes we don't think of death as victory, but when you consider the fact that we all have life as a result of that death, all of a sudden it comes to realize that we have an opportunity to live victorious lives. Victory is something which is extremely important. Have you ever needed a victory? Tonight at 6:30, the Winnipeg Jets are going to need a victory. Are they not? Yesterday, the Boston Bruins needed a victory. See, and the important thing to understand about victory is that it's good to have victories along the way, but ultimately it's that last victory which matters the most. And so you might be here, and you maybe need a victory. You know, a lot of us come shaking hands. As I was here, I shook a number of hands as I came in. But I would think that there are a number of us who are here today who are carrying heavy burdens. They might be financial burdens. They might be addictions. There might be just troubles that you're having within your family unit. I'm not too sure. I have to leave all those things up to the Lord. But here's the one thing that you have when you leave today is that we serve a God of victory. It's true. And so that's something which is important to remember on Palm Sunday. When he came, he died for our sins so that we could have an opportunity to know him. Do you know him? It's an important thing to understand and to comprehend as we go into the Easter Sunday, but it starts off with victory. The other symbol that is huge in this particular passage of scripture, and again it was mentioned in the video, was that of a colt. What's the significance of a colt? Well, if you read Zechariah 9:9, it talks about the fact that the Messiah was going to be running in on a colt, and there was something cultural about that particular thing that had taken place. It talked about the fact that it was common for a king or an important person who arrived by procession riding a donkey that actually meant something. It symbolized peace. In that particular time, if there was an entourage of an army or coming in, you didn't know whether these people were going to be friendly or whether they were going to be enemies. One of the ways that you symbolize that you were coming in peace is if they were to be able to look at a distance and see the person who was the head riding on a colt or donkey. Basically, that meant, I am coming with peaceful intentions. And so, what's represented on Palm Sunday is this thing which is called peace. It's an inner tranquility. And I would dare to say that the world is hungry for that inner tranquility, the thing which we call peace. I remember preaching a sermon a couple of years ago, and it was called Finding the Missing Piece. It was kind of interesting because there's such a play on word with that statement, isn't there? Because we think of it as a puzzle, you know, and there's nothing more frustrating than getting to a puzzle and working hours and hours on a puzzle, and then at the end of the puzzle, there's some piece missing, and you just get angry. There's a dissatisfaction of not being able to complete the puzzle. And I would dare to say that there are many people in our community, even in Brandon, that are walking through life, going to their jobs, trying to figure things out. And they work hard to put a puzzle together. And they walk around without that major thing which is missing. Inner tranquility. I think sometimes the same thing happens with people in the church. I think once they get saved, that there's a purpose that God has for them. And yet at the same time, they kind of walk and try and do their own thing. And there's just something that kind of misses. When we don't have Jesus or when we're not in the place where we need to be with God, there's this hole that takes place. So Palm Sunday says, you know what? There is a way to peace. There's a way where you can have inner tranquility. And it's through Jesus. It's not through $1 million. You can have $1 million. You can have $10 million and not have peace. You can work out at the gym 6 hours a day, eat all the right things, look like a specimen of health. And it's good that you would do something like that. And it's a healthy thing. And it's something that perhaps I should do more. But at the end of the day, it will not be the thing that ultimately brings you peace. Amen? The other thing is this. Here's the third one. It's the last one. Understanding. What was supposed to happen was that Jesus was trying to give his audience, the people, a clue as to what was going on. And the tragedy of this whole story of Palm Sunday is that a majority of the people just didn't get it. And so it is something which says, you know what, there's an understanding that we have to have that there was a God who came and died for you so that you might have life. Do you realize that while this was happening in Jerusalem, at the temple, there were people who were praying for the return of the Messiah? Isn't that kind of funny? So can you picture the picture of people, these religious, highly religious people running out of the temple, looking at the commotion and say, well, you people, shut up. We are praying for the Messiah to come. Ever see the irony in the whole process? I think perhaps one of the most important things for us living Christian lives is to actually get it. You know what I mean? To be able to understand that there is more to getting out of bed, taking a shower, Hey, all you bald people. I have found that I still wash my hair like I did when I had hair. Am I the only one that does that? I kind of lather around like there's a whole head of hair there. And for some reason, it's, I don't know. Am I the only one? No, I'm sure you're not saying anything. Hey, you don't just get up, don't just get out of bed, you don't just go to work, earn your money, help supply for your children, and do whatever you can to be a kind person in the community, and you just keep on doing that until you die. You know, you can live the best life that you possibly can. But ultimately, at the end of the day, I think life is really lived when you begin to understand that you're created for a purpose, that there's a God who loves you, there's a God who loves your neighbor, and he has somehow in his grace and his mercy and his love said, I want you to be a part. I want you to be a part. And so if there's anything impactful that we can learn from this thing called the triumphal entry or the Palm Sunday, it's this. There's purpose for you. There's hope for you. There is victory for you. There is peace for you. In a time which is screaming out for that, God says, you have it. And he did it thousands of years ago. And even though it was done then, it still is impactful for me. You know why I think we have trouble with celebrating this? Because we've already kind of seen the outcome. Could you imagine being there the first one? You ever watch Netflix, a thriller, and the thrill gets too anticipatory for you? So what you do is you kind of get the remote and you kind of skip forward to the end to find out what happened because you can relieve this thing. See, Palm Sunday, you can't fast forward. It's too significant. It talks about the peace that could be here for you and for your neighbor and your family. And that's a good thing. It is something to celebrate. Amen? Amen? Father, I just pray in Jesus' name that you will do something special in all of our hearts as we celebrate, Father, the ramifications of Easter, that you came in human form. You died for our sins to give us victory, to give us hope, to give us peace, to give us understanding. And so, Lord, I pray, Father, to whomever this is for, whatever individual, Lord, who is here to hear this passage of Scripture, God, I pray that your presence will be with them and that, God, you will be with us, Father, because that is something to celebrate. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. 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 Thank you for taking the time to listen. Let's continue the conversation online. Visit us at bethelbrandon.ca or follow us on Facebook.